Coming up today on The Dwelling Place, learning to enjoy what God has given us.
I'm driving something else, and boy, I want the Lexus. I'm not happy, and I'm discontent, and I'm not grateful because I want the Lexus, you know. And it's like, enjoy what God has given you now. And that's why some people can never rejoice, because they're not content with what God is giving them now. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Because it allows me to enjoy what I got now.
Dwelling Place, Dwelling Place.
Calvary Worship Center brings you The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If I had to describe today's message in one word, it would be challenging. Our world is spinning out of control. What was once considered evil is now commonplace, and the things of God are increasingly under attack. Did you know that as a Christian, you are an intolerant bigot? That's what the world is telling you. Today's message is based in Psalms 127 through 129. Pastor Al is going to challenge us to stand firm in our faith and our belief that God's Word contains all the truth anyone needs for a joyful and righteous life. Here's Pastor Al Pittman with today's message.
There has been a neutron bomb that has exploded. It's a bomb that explodes above the atmosphere, kills all your electronics, destroys all life, but leaves all the buildings and everything intact. A spiritual neutron bomb has gone off, and we don't even know it. And people wonder, well, where's America in the book of Revelation? I believe, rather than being nuked, that we will be neutralized because of the influence of Islam. The radical ideology of Islam, going back to the whole Sharia law thing. You see the world turning even now against Israel. I was reading it on the Drudge Report, but they had a report on there about how Russia is saying, we would consider going across borders and going to war with other nations for energy reasons, you know, to get more oil or whatever it is. They would actually consider. I mean, they said that in a report that I was reading. Just interesting times that we're living in, and the world's changing, and Europe is changing, and America's changing, and the world's becoming, seem like, more pro-Islamic, which I think will open the door to more anti-Semitism. And so we need to be careful. And you know what? You can trace it all the way back to abortion. In the name of the right to choose, we've decimated our own societies. In our own ideology, our own Judeo-Christian heritage. And so that our president now goes to another country and says, oh, we're not a Christian nation any longer. Interesting. Well, what's to be our response to that? Well, what's that got to do with Psalm 127? Oh, a lot. Because what's to be our response? He says that as believers, I believe that our response should be to raise up warriors, to embed within the hearts of our children God's word, provide for them godly examples that they can pattern their lives after. Because you notice what he says here in Psalm 127. He says, your children will be like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, warriors didn't have arrows in their hands to, you know, cut cake, to take people out. And if you're going to fashion an arrow, now I've seen some of the Native Americans fashioning arrows that they would use, you know, back in the Indian Wars and all that. But they would fashion these arrows. I was watching a show one time and it was showing how they would fashion these arrows. I mean, it took skill. They were precise about how they fashioned an arrow. And how much more should we be precise about the way that we raise our children? Because they are weapons in our quiver to launch them into society, to dilute the influence of wickedness in the lies that are out there in the world. I think, don't just raise them up to be, you know, these little angels and naive little children out there in the world. I mean, raise them up as warriors. And we do that not by saying, okay, son, I want you to climb that wall, and I want you to, you know, put a knife in your teeth, and I want you to, you know, go in there and just, you know, cut somebody. I mean, not that kind of warrior, but someone who stands in the truth of God's word. That's our response. Oh, man, you know, Al-Qaeda's coming to America. No, just raise your children with the truth. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And our children are to be warriors going out. Now, some of us are sitting here and we're going, oh, Pastor Al, you know, my kid is more of the part of the problem than he is the solution. Warrior, yeah, warrior for the devil, woo! You know, and we get discouraged, but I just want to encourage you because I can relate. And I know, just because they're raised in a Christian home doesn't mean that they're going to follow the Lord sometimes when they leave. But you know what? If you embed the word of God in their hearts, if you have lived as an example for them, not perfect, but they walk in and find you on your knees. I think one of the greatest things my kids could ever see me do was walk in sometimes when they were little guys, you know. They walk into the bedroom or something and find me on my knees praying. Dad, what are you doing? Praying. I know that God has put that in their hearts and that when they get out there in the world, if they should get away from the Lord, that God's going to bring them back. They're going to be warriors. Why? Because his word does not return void. I believe that. I hold on to that. And I hold on it for you as well. But the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some of us can relate to that. We came to the Lord when we were over 30, 40. Something somebody said to you in Sunday school or a little lesson you heard just got a hold of your heart. The story goes, my father-in-law, when I met my father-in-law, he was one of these guys, you know, World War II vet, South Pacific, you know, just hardcore, grew up as a farmer and, you know, broke horses bareback, you know, one of those kind of guys, you know, grew up during the Depression, that generation. But he, you know, when I met him, he was a believer. And, you know, just to look at him, I mean, you don't want to cross him. He's just one of those kind of guys. And, but he tells it, as he tells it, he gave his life to the Lord late in his life. And it was, when I met him, it was shortly after he had gotten saved. But his father was a preacher. And he's just an example of that. And I've known other men. I've talked to other guys, older men who, you know, came to the Lord when they were 40 or maybe in their 50s or whatever. Because of that word that grandmother, that mother prayed over them or put into their heart, or that Sunday school teacher spoke to them. You know, we may not see them come to the Lord, but oh, leave that word with them. And God will draw that child back to himself. And when he is old, they'll snap out of it. They'll wake up. Just keep holding on and believing God that he's going to speak to that child's heart. Because every one of us in here at one point in our life was stuck on stupid. Amen. Oh, you haven't always been this wise. You haven't always looked this good. There was a time I just wish, you know, and when you start complaining about the younger generation, that God would just kind of turn a video on and show you, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Oh, no, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. You know. So there is hope. Here's what he's saying here in this psalm, I think, overall, and that is that we must rest in the fact that God is building, regardless of what Islam is doing. And it's not the Islamic people. And I got news for you. I don't have time to go into it, but they're coming to the Lord by the hundreds of thousands. It doesn't get reported, but they're getting saved. They're coming to Jesus. Amen. And so God's moving. And so God is building based on Psalm 127, verse 1. He is building and God is laboring and God is guarding our lives so that we can know the sleep, the latter part of verse 2, of his beloved. So we as believers, we don't get all frantic. Oh, Pastor Al said the Islamic invasion. I just had someone moving next door to me. Oh, God, you know. I mean, please don't be that racist. Human beings, Jesus died for them. And we need to reach them with the gospel. And the best deterrent we have is not another defense contract or whatever. The best defense we have is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have no weapon against it, against the love of God. Because they have a religion of fear. Amen. That's right. Psalm 128. A Song of Ascents, it just says there as a title, and it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. It shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Israel all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Grandpas, amen. Peace be upon Israel. Here we have he's talking about the man who fears the Lord, the blessing of the man who fears the Lord. His life, his family will be blessed. The man who fears the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, he outlines here for us in this short psalm three areas of his life that will be affected because he fears the Lord. Number one, his attitude will change. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed, that word simply means happy. You know, he's happy. He's at peace with God. You know, there is no peace until we're first at peace with the Lord. Well, I need somebody to make me happy. No, you get happy with Jesus. And you know, blessed is the man who fears God. Because Psalm 32, verse 2, David said it very well. He said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. We could say in today, blessed is the man or the woman who is in Christ. Because in Christ, he does not impute to us our iniquity, if you will. And there is no deceit as we stand before the Lord in all truth and honesty. And in that condition, we're happy. Our whole attitude, our persona changes because we're in a right relationship with God.
How many people do you know who are constantly harping about not being happy? They're almost always looking in the wrong place for happiness that lasts. It's only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We greatly desire your prayers and financial support. Your gifts bring the Word of God to people throughout the nation, and as a result, believers are growing into faithful followers of Jesus. Join us on this journey of faith by becoming a financial partner with us. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. The fear of the Lord is a good thing, as we're finding out today. With another benefit for the Christian in fearing the Lord, here's Pastor Al.
Here's the second thing, that the benefit of the fear of the Lord is not only are we happy, but his labor will be blessed. He blesses the fruit of our hand. I want you to look at Ecclesiastes. Now, it's one of those books hiding in the Bible from you, but we'll smoke it out here. You go past Proverbs, you know, Psalms, and then Proverbs, and then there's Ecclesiastes, a book written by an old man by the name of Solomon, David's son. He's now an old man. He's got a lot of wisdom there in Ecclesiastes. But in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verse 9, listen to these words. He talks about the labor, our labor unto the Lord. And I know you may not have the job you want. Hey, you may not have a job. I pray that you do. But and that if you don't, that God will open the door for you soon to be gainfully employed. But start thanking God for the job you have. Because listen to what he says. He says in verse 9, he says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Oh, that's a good one. Also, he has put in eternity in their hand, in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Now, I like that because it says, you know, you really don't know what God's doing a lot of times. You know, we're just going to work and, you know, we're just trusting the Lord. He says in verse 12, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is, listen, the gift of God. My job's not a gift. Bible says it is. It's not so much maybe the job, but the fruit of it. Well, what's the fruit of it? I don't know, benefit there, man. You know, people treat me mean. And hey, the fruit of it is that, you know what? You get to pay your bills. The fruit of it is that you pay your utilities. You ever think about it? You wake up in a warm bed. You wake up, you look in the refrigerator, you open it, you go, and it's full. And we're going, nothing's in here. You go to the cupboard and all the cookies, the cookies I want, you know. I don't want that kind of ice cream. I mean, we're so blessed and spoiled. You want to know what Thanksgiving is? I'll take you to Kenya with us and drop you off in Mathari Valley. And you appreciate waking up in a soft bed and not on a hard ground. You appreciate that you could actually flush the toilet and not put it in a plastic bag and throw it outside the window. Thanking God, the fruit of my labor is that I get to pay my bills. The fruit of my labor is that I get to enjoy. My car runs. And there was a time in my life that, you know, a car might not run. I was praying every time I got behind the wheel, you know. Lord, make it start, you know. And, you know, maybe you're driving one of those or whatever. But thank God, at least it may get you, it may be an A to B car, you know, a car to get you from A to B. But be thankful. Because the Lord's allowed you to have it. And it is the fruit of your labor. Enjoy it. God has blessed us. I think when we have ingratitude coupled with discontentment, it's really a sign that we're, you know, it's a sign of unbelief. We're ungrateful. You know, we're discontent, we're murmuring and complaining all the time, which, by the way, is one of my favorite pastimes, it seems sometimes. But, you know, but the bottom line is that we do that because we forget how blessed we are. Enjoy, you know, I mean, here's the deal. We don't have, I just use Lexus. I mean, there's better cars out there, but not too many. But anyway, but Lexus. I said, you know, I'm driving a, you know, something else, and boy, I want the Lexus. I'm not happy, and I'm discontent, and I'm not grateful because I want the Lexus, you know. And it's like, enjoy what God has given you now. And that's why some people can never rejoice, because they're worried about, they're not content with what God has given them now. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Because it allows me to enjoy what I got now. Enjoy your children now. But he's not getting straight A's in school, knucklehead, you know. Enjoy them now, because they're going to grow up one day and they ain't going to listen to you anymore. Enjoy your wife now. Because one day you may be in a hospital bed, you see, unable to embrace her, hold her hand. You never know. So enjoy what you have now. So then we can rejoice now. That's why the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and you know this, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it the will of God? Because God wants grateful people. Gratitude is an act of faith. No, everything's not perfect in my life tonight. Oh, I've got questions for God. I got a whole bunch of questions you haven't answered yet. But thank God, I'm not starving. I actually had clothes to put on today. I could brush my teeth this morning. Hopefully you brush your teeth this morning. Amen. But I mean, all these things that God has blessed us with, that's the fruit of our labor. We always have something to be grateful for. In all things, give him thanks. Okay, so our labor, the fruit of our labor, you know, the fear of the Lord, it allows us to be fruitful in our labor. And let me just say that that's so true, because I remember working as a janitor, as a young man, and just walking in the fear of the Lord. Would read my Bible in my janitor closet sometimes, you know, spend 3 minutes with the Lord and, you know, get, you know, my chores. And I would do above and beyond what people would ask me to do. And just God was just blessing me and blessing me in that little janitor job. Got me a little janitor of the year award. Amen. It's at home somewhere. I'm going to frame it one day and bring it into work and just put it on. It means so much to me, because the last thing this homeboy wanted to do, this shaft wannabe in 1974, the last thing I wanted to be was a janitor. What you going to be? Oh, man, I don't know. I'm just going to have women all around me, and I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to have lots of money. What are you going to be doing? I don't know, but I'm going to have lots of money, you know. We all thought we were going to be all that, but God saved my life. And he gave me a janitor job. And I learned to love that job. I witnessed to people through my service, sharing the gospel with people. I prayed with folks on the job. God was just using my life. And my labor, he blessed my labor. We were fruitful. We were blessed at that time. And I just thank God for that. Anyway, just a little testimony. But the third thing, not only our attitude or our labor does God bless out of the fear of the Lord, but he blesses our family. He says here in verse 3, he says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Your children should be like olive plants all around your table. The wife mentioned here is not some woman that's beaten down into submission, but a fruitful, prosperous woman. Like the Proverbs 31 woman. She was a businesswoman. You know, she took care of her family and all those kind of things. Her husband, however, I believe in such of a situation, because he fears the Lord, he provides for her an atmosphere by which she can flourish, and become everything that God wants her to be. I like what I heard someone say the other day, and I may be getting it a little wrong here, but it's something like along the lines of a man of quality can embrace a woman of equality. He's not intimidated by her fruitfulness or success. It takes a man of quality to embrace a woman as his equal, in the equality. But poor men who are insecure, like to beat their women down to make themselves feel better, that's not a man of quality. You just got trash that Jesus needs to turn into treasure. Amen? But I love that. A man of quality can embrace a woman of equality. His children are like olive plants or olive shoots, those little shoots that are growing up. The idea here is that they are active, they're vigorous, not like aged old olive trees, but they're growing in cheerfulness and strength. Cheerfulness and strength. In verses 5 to 6, he says, the Lord bless you out of Zion. He said, all your days of your life, may the Lord bless you, and yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Zion, to the Israelites, was the place where all blessing came from because that's where the presence of God dwelt. Suffice to say that. That's why he said, may God bless you out of Zion, because that's where the presence of God was in the Old Testament and all. And he says that the phrase, he says, may you see the good of Jerusalem. I like that because that he's speaking there about the good fortune or the prosperity of Jerusalem. And we know there's one time when Jerusalem was really prosperous in the Old Testament, and then it was destroyed and all this, and the Babylonians came in, and of course now today it's just, you know, it's all kind of people living there, and it is in one sense a prosperous city, but we're really going to see it prosper when Jesus returns.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.